going to be meeting Thursday and Saturday with family and just enjoying being around one another and sitting around the table. And many of us have a tradition, right, that we talk about what we're thankful for at those times, and we mention those things. It's a good thing to do, a really good practice to take the time to voice what we're grateful for. It's a good thing. But I wonder about the other days in the year. Because while Thanksgiving is set aside to be a day where we specifically work at being thankful, and when I say we, I'm just talking about man generally, we try to force ourselves on that day to think about what we're grateful for. But what about all the other days? I want to talk to you tonight about what I am calling the often ignored and accepted sin. And it's the sin of ingratitude. And I want to start by asking you to just consider your own thoughts. And how would you answer this question? Do you consider ingratitude sinful? I mean, is it a sin or is it just an ugly thing? Because I think we all recognize that ingratitude is ugly, isn't it? Those of us who have children, what is it that we try to teach them? And we try to teach them that whenever anybody does something for them, you say thank you, right? You just demonstrate that you're grateful for what they've done. And we do that because it's a good habit to get into. But is it just a good habit? Is ingratitude one of those things that it's just kind of ugly when you see it, but it doesn't really move beyond that? So as you consider your own life and your own thoughts, do you believe ingratitude is a sin? Well, based upon the title of this sermon, you know what I think. But what I think doesn't really matter. We have to consider what God has actually said. So I want us to consider just two passages to start here at the beginning. The first one's in Romans chapter 1. Now listen to this. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now if you go to Romans chapter 1 and you read the entire context, everything that's about, you see, it's really about the Gentile world and how it just kind of digressed into almost a complete and total rejection of God, generally speaking. And while there were some who didn't go that far, so many of them did. One of the really interesting things is when you look there in Romans chapter 1, this idea of they did not give thanks to God, it's almost like a gateway sin. Like reaching the point where they just stopped thanking Him opened the door for so much that came afterwards. When Paul writes to Timothy, over in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, he's setting forth a list of how certain people would be. This is what he says. But understand this, that in the last time there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. And then he goes on from there. So clearly, as far as God considers things, ingratitude is sinful. It's not just ugly. It is wrong. It is sin. But let's not move away from this ugly thought. Because not only is it sin, it is ugly. And in the life of a saint, in the life of a Christian, it has absolutely no place at all. Now, if you look down at the outline, there are several passages listed there. I want us just to think about Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And this is simply representative of so many passages that are like this. But I want you to note the lifestyle that God expects of His people. Therefore, As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, now notice, abounding in thanksgiving. Now what does it mean to abound in something? It's really the idea of overflowing, isn't it? You just have so much of that thing, you are abounding in it. You're overflowing with it. The life that we're called upon to live as children of God is a life that is abounding in thanksgiving. But you know, one of the things that I've seen in my own life, it is so very easy to become ungrateful, isn't it? It really is. Now, it's bad enough when we find that just for a moment, just for an instant, ingratitude has reared up at that time. It's bad enough when that happens. But it's especially bad when it simply becomes a disposition. When it becomes a way of life and it becomes what and who one is. You know, beloved, I hate to admit it, but there have been times in my life as a Christian when taking kind of spiritual inventory of myself, yeah, I found ingratitude there. And I just wasn't being grateful for my blessings. Maybe you're asking yourself, well, how can I really know if that's what I am like? Well, I'm going to set forth myself. Because I can look at those moments in my life, and I can tell you exactly what I was like. And perhaps if you see that in yourself, maybe you would say, well, you know what? Maybe I am ungrateful, and I need to fix that. This is what it looked like for me. I found myself in those moments complaining a lot. Complaining about the things that I didn't have. And I found a rather gloomy disposition during those periods of time. And I also found a couple of characteristics that just kind of accompanied all of those things. I found I was comparing myself in the things that I had and the things that I didn't have. I was comparing myself to other people. And when that comparison did not measure up as favorably as I'd like, I found myself very envious. And I find myself in periods of jealousy. And when I identified those times, I was able to come to the conclusion, as painful as it might have been, Adam, you're just simply ungrateful. You're ungrateful for the blessings that God has given you, and you need to do something about it. And that's what the rest of this sermon is going to really be about. Do you find in yourself ingratitude? And we're really going to focus this evening on material things. I tend to find that's often where our ingratitude can really rear its head. I'm going to focus there tonight. If you see it in your life, I want to set forth what I believe to be three eminently biblical-based ways, methods of overcoming that particular sin. And I want to start right here. Whenever ingratitude begins to rear its head in our lives, that's when it's time for us to really consider the abundance and the value of the blessings we have been given. And now we might think, well, really, what's the big deal about that? I think we can see the big deal in this by noticing someone who failed to do it. Do you remember Korah and Korah's rebellion that we read about there in Numbers chapter 16? I want you to turn your Bibles there with me, if you will. So let's turn over to Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah and those who were standing with him were Levites. They already had a very honored place as far as their service to God was concerned. But it wasn't really enough for Korah. Korah wanted more. So let's pick up down in verse 8. Numbers 16 in verse 8 to the first part of verse 11. And Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it too small a thing for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel?
to bring you near to himself, to do service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them, and that he has brought you near him, and all your brothers, the sons of Levi, with you? And would you seek the priesthood also? Therefore, it is against the Lord that you and all your company have gathered together. Consider what Moses is saying to him. Consider the very blessed position that Korah and his fellow Levites were already in. And consider how the nation would look at them. I mean, the people from the other tribes would be thinking, look at these sons of Levi. Look how blessed they are by God. God has given them this position to minister to him in a very intimate way. And remember, while we've all been given a land allotment, the tribe of Levi wasn't. Why? Not because they were looked down upon by God, but because they were given a special place. Remember what he said to them? I am your inheritance. That's what Korah had as Levites, special ministers to the Lord. But that wasn't enough, was it? That wasn't enough. And somehow that man convinced himself he was not blessed as well as he should have been blessed. That he had not received all that he should have received. And he decided, God, you've not given enough. I need to reach for more. And Moses said, is it too small a thing that you've been blessed in this way? You've been blessed. You've got to overreach now. You would say there in verse 11, don't think you've risen up against Aaron. Who is Aaron? You've risen up against God. And Bible students know how all of that turned out. Here's a question that I ask myself in those moments when I feel as though ingratitude is rearing its head. Perhaps it's a question that you will find helpful as well. How many, even in this very city alone, do you believe pray for the very things that we often take for granted? I received you've probably received these too, especially this time of the year. You receive those letters from various groups who are attempting to help folks at this time of year. And I received one, and I was just reading through it, and it said a dollar can feed 8 families this Thanksgiving. Feed them turkey with trimmings this Thanksgiving. $1. What position would you have to be in to not have a dollar? Let me ask you something. Again, this is something that I ask myself. And again, we're keeping this within the realm of our material blessings. You ever stand in front of your refrigerator, your freezer, your pantry, your cabinets filled with food, look in there and say, man, I've got nothing to eat. You ever stand in front of your closet filled with clothes? Boy, I got nothing to wear. I've got those things. I'm probably going to forget myself and do them again. How many people are there who desperately pray for what we take for granted? Remember when Brother Breer was here a few weeks ago? I guess now, a few months ago. I don't know. I can't remember when we have our meetings. But Brother Breer was here. And remember he talked to us about our brethren there in Africa? And what they're going through and how difficult it is for them just to have 2 meals a day? Do you think any of them would stand in front of the refrigerator we have in our house right now and say, boy, they have nothing to eat? Or their pantries, or their cabinets, or their closets. Boy, they got nothing to wear. No. Look at how our God has blessed us with
materially here in this country, here in this congregation. Consider the abundance of them. Consider the value of them. And it can really help. It can really help us become as grateful, I think, as we ought to be. I have found that helpful in my life when times of ingratitude have reared their head. I find this very helpful as well. Trying to use the blessings that I do have to help those who have less. You ever do that? You ever try to do that? It's not only a good thing to do, it's actually a command that we have from our God. Over in Galatians 6 and verse 10, a very well-known passage to Bible students, Paul says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." I find in my life that my opportunities increase as I seek them out, as I look for opportunities to serve and to help others. There have been times where if anybody was going to receive anything from me, they were going to have to find me, right? They were going to have to come to me. And then if they asked for something, well, then I would be in a position I would think about helping them. But I never really would seek it. And I never really went out to find it. And beloved, I am thoroughly convinced there is such a thing as creating opportunities, as seeking opportunities and taking advantage of those opportunities when they come. When we look in our Lord's life, just going through His ministry, as He went from town to town, one of the things that we often find Him doing is seeking out those who were in need, going to those who had a need. Now, we know what our Lord was doing was healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and raising up the paralyzed and things of that nature. We don't have the power to do those things. But we do have the power to help those who are in need, don't we? That's what Paul's telling us to do. The Holy Spirit is telling us to do in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. My experience has had that so often, brethren, we as brethren, we are willing. We have no issue at all in withholding that giving hand if they will come to us. But sometimes we have difficulty knowing where to go to them. And sometimes it kind of slips our mind of the responsibility to seek those opportunities. And I often hear brethren ask, and ask myself, aside from seeing someone standing on the side of the road with a sign, how am I going to find them? Where are these people? You ever find yourself wondering about that? I'd like to be a better servant. I just don't know where to find them. Can I make a suggestion to you? Ask your fellow Christians. Recently, I went on to one of the groups that I'm a part of on Facebook with this specific question. A group of Christians. I want to be a better servant in the community. I want to help those who are in need. Give me suggestions. What are you doing? In a 24-hour period, I think I had more than 30 answers. There are ways, beloved. There are ways to go to those who have a need, to use our resources, the things that God has blessed us with, has put us as stewards over, to then share them with those less fortunate than we are. And I'm going to tell you this, there is nothing that I have seen in my own life. There is nothing that more thoroughly, more quickly shifts one's perspective on things and on how greatly they really are blessed than interacting with those who have less and sharing what you've been blessed with. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to a passage in 2 Corinthians 8, where Paul talks about
brethren from Macedonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And even that great apostle was blown away by the generosity demonstrated by those brethren. Listen to what he says. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us, Paul said. He said, they gave not even as we expected. Oh, I expected them to give something, but I did not expect what those brethren did. Apparently, those brethren were already living in poverty, and yet their generosity overflowed. And I love how Paul puts it, and they begged, they pleaded to be able to take part in that favor. Considering it a favor, considering it a blessing, to be able to give their things to other people. How does that happen, and where does it come from? Comes from a heart filled with Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Comes from a heart filled with the Lord. You ever find ingratitude beginning to well up in your life? A surefire way to get the perspective back to where it needs to be is to really start seeking the opportunities to help the less fortunate. Less fortunate than yourselves. And there are brethren, believers and unbelievers alike in this very city, this very community, who can use our help. Let's give it. Let's give it as we have opportunity. And one final thought that I want to set forth for you this evening. And it comes down to simply making a choice and then sticking by it. Choose to be thankful. Choose to give thanks to the one from whom all blessings flow. You know, when we think carefully, and when we have our minds where they need to be, I think we all understand that blessings are God's to give, right? Every good thing belongs to God. He is the creator. He made us and He made the world. Everything in it belongs to Him. At most, we are stewards of the good things of God. But they're His. And when He chooses to give them, He does it as a manifestation of His grace. And it's always a gracious thing when God gives blessings. Two passages I want us to consider here, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Now, this is really dealing with the spiritual aspect of things, but then we're going to look over at Acts 14, which will get into the physical aspect. Ephesians 1 and 3 says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The blessings are His. And when He gives them, He does it because He loves and because He's gracious. Acts 14 and verse 17. Yet He did not leave Himself without witness. For He did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Now perhaps every single one of us, I hope every single one of us, would say, well, yeah, we get this. We understand it. We understand that all blessings belong to God. And if we get them, it's because He's graciously giving them. But I hope none of us go to this next thought. I just deserve more of them. Look, I'm willing to admit that God blesses me. And whenever I get something from God, I get it as a blessing. I just ought to be getting more. Why? There's a question that'll bring you up short, won't it? If I feel I deserve more, why? Why do I receive even what I've been given? I want you to turn your songbooks with me, if you will, to number 28. Now, this is a wonderful song. Is It For Me? Wonderful song here. It's clearly speaking of the spiritual blessings that we receive in Christ. But I love the perspective of the singer here, which is us when we sing this song. Just the first two verses. Listen to this. Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest? For me, so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so blessed? Is it for me, thy welcome, thy gracious enter in? For me, thy come ye blessed, for me, so full of sin? You see, I love those two lines because they help me to get my mind where it ought to be. They help me to get focused and to remember humility. Because while I may not be living in a state of sin now, there have been more than a single time when I have, beloved. And I suspect you could say the same. And so I look at my life now. I have a family. I have a home, a roof over my head. I have a closet filled with clothes. I have two vehicles. I have a house filled with food. What do I have to complain about? I mean, is all that for me? Who has been so weak? Who many times in my life has been so filled with sin? Is that really for me? Not even to mention the spiritual blessings that I have in Christ? Is that really for me? Why should I be so blessed? Why should I be so blessed? Why should you? Why should you? There will always be people that we know who have more than us materially. And there will always be people that we know who have less than us materially. What do? We choose to be grateful. All the time. We abound in thanksgiving. Because we don't deserve the blessings we have, but we receive them from a gracious God who is more wonderful and loving towards us than we will ever have any right to. That's the God that we serve. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. David has received some wonderful spiritual promises from the Lord here. And I want you just to listen to what David has to say. 2 Samuel, picking up in verse 18, taking it to 20, and then verse 29 as well. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, starts here. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God." Look at verse 29. "Now therefore may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." Now we understand the extraordinary blessings that David was given there, but I want us to consider his response. And I want to ask you a question.
When was the last time you bowed your head and you just said to God, "Who am I that I should receive all of these blessings that you have poured out upon me? Who am I and what is my house that you would do this for me? And what more can your servant say?" David went on and said, "For you know me." And I think the point that he's making there is that there were no longer sufficient words to express the gratitude that was in his heart. But this was an occasion when God didn't need to hear the words because God could read the heart. And so, God can read our heart. God knows how thoroughly he has blessed us. I'm convinced that we will never understand our blessings completely because we are not God. But I'm also convinced, and I arrive at this just from an examination of my own life, one of the most beneficial things that we can do for our own soul's well-being is to count our many blessings, name them one by one. Is it for us God's blessings? Why should we be so blessed? Because our God is a loving and gracious God. May we never forget it. And may we always recognize his blessings for what they are. And praise him for it. There may be some here tonight who are not Christians, and if that's the case, you have the opportunity now to render your obedience to Jesus Christ. Believe with all your heart that he is the Son of God, that he did the things he said he did, died in your place for your sins, and rose again, and is even now at the right hand of the Father. Believe that. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus as Lord. And be immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul, putting him on there, becoming a new creature, and on the road that leads to heaven. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.